Thank you for checking out the Mercy Hill Church Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about Mercy Hill, you can visit us on the web at mercyhill.cc.
Father, we thank you that your word is true, that your word stands and does not return void, that it endures and forever. And God, that you loved us enough to give us your word, that to point us to you, to remind us of who you are. And I pray this morning as your word goes forth, Lord, that it would fall on our ears, that we would have ears to hear it, and that we'd also be doers of it. I pray that you would give John, by your Holy Spirit, the words to speak, that you would speak through him, and that it would be your words to us, and we would receive it with all of our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Before Johnny gets into what he wants to speak about this morning, which is addressing just the events that took place last weekend in Charlottesville, and talking about racism, and I think just what the gospel has to say, and looking at that, I just want to read what exactly happened. So I have on a sheet of paper just the events, so I want to read that through so that we are all just kind of on the same page. We know what happened, or kind of if you're unfamiliar, maybe you don't know what happened. I want to read through that, and then we'll go in. Johnny will go in. So I kind of have it in questions. So what happened leading up to Charlottesville? Back in February, the Charlottesville City Council voted to remove the statue of General Robert E. Lee. Several groups then filed lawsuits against the city for these actions. And in March and in months that followed, group protests occurred, and the name of the park was changed from Robert E. Lee Park to Emancipation Park. Jason Kessler, a leader in the group known as Proud Boys, submitted an application to the city of Charlottesville in May to hold a rally on August 12th called Unite the Right. According to the permit application, the local police expected about 1,000 people to participate, not including counter-protesters. The purpose of the rally was to protest the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee from a city park, but one of the co-organizers of the event admitted the event was equally about bringing together members of white nationalists, white supremacists, neo-Confederate, neo-Nazi, and KKK groups. So what happened in Charlottesville that weekend? On Friday, August 11th, around 2:55 p.m., Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe released a statement about planned security for the Unite the Right white nationalist rally, which was planned in part to protest the removal of the statue. That evening, after the city of Charlottesville had lobbied for a change in venue due to the size of the event, a federal judge ruled that the event could remain in Emancipation Park as planned. Hundreds of white nationalists, some wielding torches, gathered at the University of Virginia ahead of Saturday's larger rally on that Friday evening. Then on Saturday, August 12th, at around 8:30 a.m., protesters and anti-protesters began showing up for the rally, and by 10:30 a.m., at least two people had been treated for serious, non-life-threatening emergencies from altercations. Counter-protesters flooded the area to square off with a group of alt-right activists and white supremacist groups. Around 11 a.m., an unlawful assembly was called by law enforcement. Police began deploying tear gas against the crowd at 11:30 a.m., and then the governor announced a state of emergency, disrupting the main part of the event that was scheduled for noon. A few hours later, around 1:45 p.m., a man, James Fields, drove his vehicle into a crowd of pedestrians, killing one, a 32-year-old woman named Heather Heyer, and injuring 19 others. In addition to the one death and 19 injuries in the car ramming incident, the city said there were at least 15 other injuries associated with the scheduled rally. And at 9:46 p.m., the police announced their arrest of the perpetrator in the car ramming incident. Currently, on Saturday afternoon, the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced a federal civil rights investigation into the deadly vehicular incident had been opened.
We're taking a pause this morning from our series on the parables. And there's moments in time when you're going along, you're going along with your life and everything that's going on around you, and something happens and you cannot stay the same any longer. this week, just looking over the pictures and the videos from Charlottesville, it broke my heart. And as I was thinking through these things, I felt the Holy Spirit kindly and graciously come up behind me and really smack me in the head and say, "You need to speak about this. This is not okay." And as a church, so often we can rally behind pro-life issues of religious freedom. But sometimes when it comes to racism and the ugliness of it, the church at times leaves that to the political realm. That's a political issue. It's not a political issue. This is a gospel issue. So this weekend was one of those moments. You can see in the pictures and the account that Corey read, just the ugliness and the evil and just the hatred that ensued with people from the alt-right, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, the white nationalists, other hate groups that gathered for the rally. This racism and bigotry, it grieves. It grieves the Holy Spirit in the heart of God. It grieves the Lord. Does not please Him, does not honor Him. It grieves the very heart of God. What I'd like to do this morning is share God's Word together. And then we're going to take some time at the end and we're going to break into small groups and we're going to pray. And so, turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1. I've got a couple of points I want to make, and then as we pray together, hopefully that helps us as we pray and seek the Lord together. Number one, racism has no place in our nation, in our culture, and especially amongst God's people. There is no place whatsoever for racism of any kind amongst God's people, ever. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God creates the heavens and the earth. As Amy reminded us, the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation is screaming the magnificence of God. And in verse 27 of chapter 1, we get a picture of the apex, the pinnacle of God's creative powers. And we read this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Somehow amongst all of creation, God has so chosen to place His very image, His imprint upon humanity, that you and I were created in the very image, the image of Almighty God. All who God is, somehow He's been able to put upon people, humanity, an imprint of who He is unlike any other creation. Unlike the mountains or the sun or the animals, somehow humanity bears the very image of the Creator of the universe. And therefore, every person is created with dignity, value, honor, worth, the image of God. See, racism isn't just unkind or insensitive. It is from the very pit of hell. It's demonic. It takes the beauty and value of what God has created in humanity, what He's put His image upon, and calls it filthy, and it hates, and it rejects the very person whom God loves and values so dearly. It is completely against everything that God has done. Racism has no place amongst God's people, especially when it comes to the gospel. See, racism is completely and utterly antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in the gospel, we see Jesus Christ bringing reconciliation to all people, all tribes and nations, being reconciled and united, made whole in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, we read this: "For He Himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility." This is what Jesus Christ has done. Where there was Jew and Gentile, He completely abolished the wall that divided. He brought us together, united us in Him. Skipping down to 16, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. This is the glorious message of the gospel, that there is unity. We've been brought together. Where there has been division, Jesus Christ has gotten rid of the division. He's broken down the walls that stood between us. And He said, "In my body and who I am on the cross, I will bring together that which humanity has tried to divide." And He's accomplished it. We proclaim a gospel of reconciliation that brings sinners, and bigots, and racists to a God of forgiveness, and mercy, grace, and justice, where all of our sins, where all of the racism, the animosity, the anger, the hostility has been put upon the body of Jesus Christ. It was nailed to the cross. It was done away with. It was forgiven. Restored. We've been restored and reconciled not only to God, but we've been restored and reconciled to one another. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you and I, no matter what stood between us, that's been done away with, and we have been reconciled to one another through Jesus Christ. See, what racism does is it spits in the face of the Savior, who brings peace where there's been division, hope where there's been despair, and unity where there's been only war. It rejects the offer of Jesus Christ. It makes a mockery of what He's done. There is no place, no room, and no openness to racism amongst God's people. Ever. Number two, racism is easy to spot in others, but like any sin, not so obvious in our own hearts. There's a picture here, and it's obvious who the racist is, right? It's clear. The guy with the Confederate flags, the white hood, the KKK guy, that's clear. We'd see that and think, well, that's obvious. He's a racist. But yet confronting racism in our own heart is another issue, because it doesn't look like that. So I don't think anyone here attended the rally last week. and march with the KKK guys, right? Didn't happen. So we can see that sometimes and think, well, I'm off the hook because I'm not like that. I'm not going to rallies. I'm not wearing the hoods. I'm not doing all these other things. There's in Galatians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. We have the pillars, some of the fathers of our faith. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. Peter goes to eat with the Gentile believers, spends time with them, and as some more of the kind of hardline Jewish group shows up, Peter begins to withdraw from the Gentile believers because whether he's embarrassed or he's feeling like, oh, they're kind of less than us, or they don't have the history that we have of the Lord, or they don't have the scriptures like we have, and they don't have the ethnic profile that we so proclaim is necessary to follow God. And so what the Apostle Peter does is he begins to withdraw and quits eating with the Gentile believers. It's racism. This is one of the pillars of the early church. The Apostle Paul shows up and says, hold on a second here, Peter. What you're doing is not in step with the gospel. What you're doing is not showing and proving the gospel is at work. You're rejecting the gospel in doing this. See, even the Apostle Peter was blinded to the insidiousness of racism, the subtlety of racism in his own behavior. He wasn't saying the Gentiles were not believers. He wasn't saying the Gentiles couldn't be believers. He just slowly began to withdraw because they weren't like who his friends were and what his friends thought were appropriate. We can look at the pictures of what took place in Charlottesville last weekend, easily point out racism because it is so vulgar and wicked. Yet to some degree or another, we have all areas in our hearts that are marred by racism. The problem isn't just 700 miles away in Charlottesville. The problem isn't just in another state, some faraway place in another country. The problem is also in my own heart. The look, the characterization, an assumption, a flippant comment, a fear, it all points to the fact that we need to identify the racism in our own hearts, in our own lives, and bring it before the Savior. We need to root it out by the power and the mercy of Jesus Christ. The general public only knows really the reality of this racism because it's become so ugly. But yet racism isn't something that affects our brothers and sisters every single day. So often we're just completely unaware to it. We're oblivious to it. That is why we need the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not just good news for those who are on the other side, who are rallying against the racists. The gospel is good news for everybody, that we can receive forgiveness and mercy, and there's hope for redemption and change and unity. That's the hope that Jesus Christ extends to each and every one of us. That's our hope in Jesus Christ. Lastly, so what is our response? What is our response? There's no place for it in our country, community, church, in our hearts. Sometimes we think about the state of our culture and our country, and we think, where do we even start? I mean, this is a systematic issue. I remember a few years ago, we had some dear friends who lost a child. At that point in time, we didn't have any answers. We didn't have any, you know, some kind of scripture verse in that moment. We really didn't have anything to say. All that we could do was just show up and sit in silence, crying with them, grieving with them, mourning with them. We didn't, at that moment, we didn't need to say a word. Romans chapter 12 talks about mourning and grieving with those who are hurting, scared, and impacted by events like this. We need to be the people of God who will say, I will be with you. Not from a distance, but up close. If you're hurting, then I'm hurting. If you've been impacted by this event, if you've been impacted by the racism, if you've been impacted by the ugliness of this situation, then I've been impacted by this. Because I love you that much. What hurts you, what frightens you, it hurts me. And I will be with you. Secondly, we pray. We pray. We go to the Lord. We need the work of the Holy Spirit of God to change hearts and attitudes and behaviors. See, all this stuff that's taking place, this isn't just some kind of political issue that we need more legislation, we need more tighter reins on free speech. We can legislate ourselves to death, but it never deals with the heart. This is an issue of the heart. And yes, we need legislation, and yes, we need help, but more importantly, we need the Holy Spirit of God to come in and breathe revival, to breathe change, to bring a heart-level, complete turnaround, that the anger and the animosity would be melted away in the light of who Jesus Christ is. He would give us love and mercy and grace towards one another. That's our prayer. We need God to intervene. God, if you don't intervene in this, we're helpless. Because the culture has very few answers to this. The hope of Jesus Christ is where we turn. Third, so we grieve and mourn with those who've been affected. We pray. And lastly, we speak out. Yes, we need national leaders to speak out, but even more so, we need God's people, the prophetic revelation of who God is, to speak out and be heard. Voices that say racism grieves the heart of God and it's not okay. We need to speak out. We need to be heard in a place that says, we are going to overcome the hatred, not with hatred, but with the love of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that's going to conquer the hatred. More hatred, more violence, counter-violence, it's not going to change anyone's heart. We need to say as God's church, as God's people, that there is no room for racism of any kind amongst God's people or anywhere else. The church needs to be the place of hope and healing for all nations and all people. That's what God's called us to do. I want to just turn to Revelation chapter 7. We've read this passage before. I just want to read it again. It's so beautiful. This picture that we see, the throne room of heaven. And then we're going to break into small groups and pray. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There is a church service happening even as we speak. It is in the throne room of heaven, and there is people from every nation, from every tribe, of all colors and all languages, declaring the greatness and glory of God. And one day, we will be among that multitude. We'll be there. And there will be no division. There will be no hostility. No more anger. No more racism. We will be together in the throne room of God, worshiping and praising our God and our Savior forever. I want to close with just a personal prayer for us. I want you to just pray with me as I pray. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do something a little different. We're going to break into small groups. And for the next 10 minutes, we're going to pray together in small groups. Maybe 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever. We'll put some PowerPoint, some things on the slide for us up front so we can kind of get a feel for what we'd like to ask you to pray for, but please don't limit yourself to what's on the screen. And then we'll take communion together in our small groups. So if you just bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord. God, our hearts are grieved and they're broken over the absolute ugliness of what we saw last weekend. God, it is absolutely shocking. Lord Jesus, we come before you because we need your help. God, we need your help. God, help us, Lord Jesus. Give us the humility, God, to see one another as your image bearers. God, is precious to you, imprinted with your very image, O God, beautiful, worthy of honor, dignity. God, help us to have a grateful heart, Lord Jesus, for the way in which all of the ethnicities, Lord, uniquely reflect your glory and your creative power. God, I pray that you would convict our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, where we have judged. God, where we have spoken foolishly. And we valued people based on the color of their skin. God, convict us. Lord, give us the gift of repentance. God, forgive us, Lord Jesus, as well for our lack of understanding or even caring, God, our apathy towards the effects this has on our brothers and sisters. Lord, give us hearts, God, that would hurt when our brothers and sisters are hurting. God, I pray that you give us compassion towards one another. Lord, that we would be able to bear each other's burdens. Where there has been racial injustice, God, I pray, God, we wouldn't just stand at a distance. Help us to bear one another's burdens, God. And God, I pray that you would give us faith. God, faith to believe, Lord, that you are our ultimate Savior, our protector, our Redeemer, our hope. Lord Jesus, as we see these things, God, let our eyes immediately turn to you, Lord. For you are the hope of the nations. You're the hope for our country. You're the hope for our church. You're the hope for our lives. You're the hope for our children. God, where else can we go? Who can change the heart of men? God, you can. God, let us look to you with all of our hearts, God. God, let us find, even in the midst of this, God, a confidence, Lord, that you will make all things new again. Lord Jesus, you will wipe away every tear. You will bandage every wound. You will lift every bowed head. You will restore. You will make new. You will give life. So Jesus, we turn to you, God. Help us to have the confidence, Lord, that you one day will triumph. You will triumph over the hate, the prejudice, racism. Jesus, you will triumph because you are the conquering King. So Lord, we give you our hearts and our lives. Jesus, help us, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like us to just take a moment now to break into small groups. Doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be small. Just whoever's around you, if you just want to turn around and gather together. We're going to put some prayer points on the screen. And then we're going to take communion together in small groups. So if we just want to just put those up there, just turn around now and let's take some time to pray together as God's people for the things that we see going on around us in our own hearts.
If your group is not taking communion yet, I would just encourage you, if one person could just lead that, take communion as a group. Thank you guys so much for being responsive. Thanks for being willing to pray. Thanks for being willing to just be sensitive to what God's doing. I think as we think about these things, as we leave here and we get on with our lives, this isn't an issue that just happens on a weekend, it goes away and gets better. Now we move on with things. I think this is a prodding of the Spirit for us to begin to initiate and begin to really find out what it means to dialogue with this issue and to fight it with all the power of the Holy Spirit that we have to see it come to an end. But I just want to pray for us as we go that God would give us the strength and the love and the wisdom. And the wisdom to know when we need to speak and when we need to go forth. So, Lord Jesus, God, thank you for the moment we had today, this morning. God, I pray that you would prick our hearts. God, you give us a sensitivity to our brothers and sisters around us, God. And Lord, I pray that as we go forth from here this morning, Lord, we wouldn't just turn a blind eye now. But Lord, we would continue to ask you, Lord Jesus, what you'd have us to say, what you'd have us to do, how you're calling us to love. And Lord Jesus, help us by your grace and your power and your Holy Spirit to walk in obedience, that we would be the light, a city on a hill, where the church would be a place of refuge and safety. Blessing. In your name we pray. Amen.